so that he would in turn be able to get it. I really feel like some of us are in the process of being spiritually broken so that we can be given. God had to lead a man by the name of Joseph, a young lad, down to Egypt's bondage so that he would be able to use this man to save his brethren. Friend, God is allowing you to go through some things so he can turn you into somebody that can be used to save somebody else. But I'll allow the pain to do it because he's breaking you so he can give you. I don't know this morning. I know that's a great time, and I want to stay as close to on time as I can. There's been a tremendous move of the altar before for people that needed the Holy Ghost. But I'm wondering if there's just a few that may be struggling with some things, struggling with some hurts. You've been wounded. Problems are in your life. And you're going to trust the Lord to take care of them today. You're going to trust the Lord to take care of it today. You're going to trust the Lord to turn it all around. Friend, there is a miracle working power that's in this place today. There is a miracle working God. I'm not looking for a mass exodus out of the seats today unless only you feel like there is truly a hurt. There's truly something that is struggling and warring in you. There's truly something that you are struggling with in your life. God's going to turn it around today. God's going to allow you to take and be fruitful in affliction. God's going to cause you to be blessed. He's going to use you to reach somebody else. But first, he has allowed you to face some adversity. He's allowed you first to go through some trial. He's first allowed you to go through some pain. But now God is about ready to heal the wounds of your life. He's about ready to lean over the balcony of heaven. Wipe the tears from your eyes. Give you peace that you've never known before. That's just the way of our God.
Going to shorten the whole thing, and we're going to go directly to verse 13. John chapter 14 and verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if ye shall ask anything, everyone say anything, in my name, say in my name, Jesus promised that he would do it. And so the question today is, what must we do to ask in the name of Jesus Christ? If we can find out what that is, then I promise you that God will literally open up the windows of heaven and give to you anything that you ask. Anything. Some of you are here today and there are things occurring in your life, and you know without question that it has to be God to solve it and to give you your answer, because you know you can't do it by yourself. And whatever it is that you're facing in your life, whatever mountain, whatever obstacle, whatever adversity is in front of you, you know full well you're not going to be able to do it by yourself. But you're going to need someone greater and higher than yourself. And if we can find out how to ask in the name of Jesus Christ, then we can know without question that God is going to answer our prayer. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Holy God, that you would open up the windows of heaven and let an anointing fall upon this house. I pray that you would give to every young person in this house what they desire in the depths of their soul. I pray it in Jesus' name. Everyone say, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to preach to you from this text and simply entitle it, In the Name of Jesus. About 3 years ago, a very remarkable event occurred in our home. And that was the day when my youngest son was born. However, he was not born conventionally. That is to say, he was not born in a hospital, but he was born in the bathroom of our home. We did not plan that, but that's the way it happened. And friend, when the babies are ready to come, then that's when they're going to come. God has ordained a specific time. Only God knows it. And Brother Morgan, you'll find that out in not too many distant months. And you just go with it. And so wherever you are, that's where you have the baby. Not in the bathroom, he said. Sister Donna Claiborne, there in the back, was with my wife and I when this event occurred. And we were helping my wife in the middle of her labor. She wanted to stay home as long as she could. She didn't want to be interfered with all of the doctors and the nurses and all this kind of stuff, because she wanted to labor as long as she could at home. So we had gotten instructions on how to go about the process, and Sister Donna was with us there in the home, and we were just motoring along, just trying to get this thing taken care of, when suddenly, as we were heading out to the car to go to the hospital, because we knew she was right at the point when she was going to have the baby, my wife suddenly said, she said, I'm going to have this baby here. And so I said, all right, if you're going to have this baby here, then that's fine with me, just as long as we have the baby. And so we set up camp inside of the bathroom, and the child was born. And today, there on the back row in the back seat of the auditorium is a little three-year-old cowboy that God helped us get to this earth. Thank God for that. But ironically, one of the greatest challenges we had was deciding what to name this little guy, because the hardest part was already over. Now we had to discover what we wanted to name this boy, because after all, you need a name. You got to have a name. If you don't have a name, then no one knows how to address you. If you don't have a name, then no one knows what to do with you. And so we thought that'd be a good idea. So there beside the hospital bed, we sat down, and we had other names in mind, but they just didn't seem to work. And so I got out a little baby book, and I began to read through the baby book. And I had remembered a name in a Louis L'Amour book. And it was in reference to an Irish highwayman who used to go around singing a song called Brennan on the Moor. And so I saw the name, and it struck me, and it stood out to me. And I said, that's a good Irish name, so we're going to name him Brennan. And so from this point, or that point until now, his name has been Brennan. We named him because we knew that the little guy could not go through life without a name. Turn to your neighbor and say, what's your name? Don't have to tell them, but just as long as you know they have a name, then everything's going to be all right. Because you've got to understand that the name is incredibly important to your life and to your existence. If you don't have a name, then no one has a handle or a reference to who you are. Credit literally has been extended upon the name of an individual. Transactions have occurred upon the good name of an individual. The ambassador of the United States of America leaves this country and goes to other countries representing the name of the United States of America. How many are glad that you're part of this great country? He goes out representing the country, and he bears with him the name of the United States of America. And friend, don't you forget it, that when that name is mentioned in the hallowed halls of ambassadors in the various nations around the world, that there is still a respect for the United States of America. There is still an awesome reverence for the power and the might and the economic influence of the United States of America. And all you have to do is mention that we're from the United States of America, and there is an automatic power and influence extended. I found that your name is essentially identical with your personal life and with who you are. Your name becomes the pointer to your life. I remember some years ago growing up, I would spend my summers in a little town called Weed Pass, and we had a dog named King. And King was a very remarkable dog because King could do many things. King could hunt rabbits. King could heal. King could attack other dogs in the area. And friend, there were plenty of them. But King also had the uncanny ability to literally track those animals and track those Indians or whatever else in our world of cowboys and Indians that we were trying to track. He was a dog who could track these animals and these Indians. And whenever he found what he knew we were looking for, he would literally stop at that tree or out in the middle of a cornfield, and he would lift his nose and he'd let us know, "I have found what you've been looking for." And so he took on the additional role of being a pointer dog as well. I'm telling you, this dog King was a mythical dog. There ought to be a book written about him. I may do it someday. King, the wonder dog. But he was a pointer dog, and he pointed his way to what we wanted. Your name is a pointer to who you are. If somebody wants to know who you are, they're going to start asking, "What's his name?" Because when your name is mentioned and from the lips of another individual, your name rolls. I'm telling you, there is an automatic reference to who you are. Because if your life has been lived with good conscience and integrity, then when your name is mentioned, they'll recognize that's a good man. He's a man of integrity. He's a woman, or she's a woman of integrity. If you've not lived that way, then they'll say, "Oh, I know her. She's bad news, friend. I don't want to be around her." I'm telling you, when somebody mentions your name, that is an index and a reference point to who you are. Now, I want to stop for a moment and tell you that if you want your name to be full of integrity, and when it is mentioned, if you want your name to be associated with good things and good men and good women, then you need to start living your life right now in a manner that you want them to remember it. If you want to be full of the Holy Ghost, then you need to find your way to an altar somewhere. And if you want your name to be associated with godly men and godly women, then you need to find yourself with those individuals every day that you live. If you want to be an apostolic, then you need to live apostolic. You've got to make and create for yourself a reputation that will one day be attached to your name. Your name represents your mind. It represents your character. It represents your purposes and your agenda in life. If you're an overly ambitious individual and you're climbing on the backs of other people to get what you want, all they have to do is mention their name, your name, and they'll nod their head and say, "Oh, yeah, I know who they are." If you're trying to get involved with the world and you got one foot in and you got one foot out, it won't take long. Somebody will mention your name and somebody will nod their head and say, "Yeah, I know who that gentleman is. He's the one that's trying to ride the fence, trying to get a little bit of heaven and a little bit of the world at the same time." I'm going to tell you something, friend. Who you are is wrapped up in your name. And so it represents your mind, your character. It begins to attach itself to your name. Whoever you are and whatever you are becomes associated to your name. Now, the Bible tells us that Jesus was speaking, and he said in the book of John chapter 5 and verse 43, he said, "I have come in my Father's name." That means that when Jesus came to the earth, he took upon himself not only a physical name,
not only a pedigree to which other associations could be attached, but he also took on the mind and the character and the purpose of his daddy. And so everything that he did was in direct alignment with what his dad was telling him to do. Whatever the father told him to say, that's what Jesus said. Whatever the father told him to do, that's what Jesus did. And so when he said, I have come in my father's name, it didn't mean that he just took on the physical name that was somehow passed down to him. But it meant that whatever he did upon the earth, he was doing it because he saw his daddy doing it. And whatever he said upon the earth, he said it because his father was telling him, I want you to say this. I want you to do that. And so whenever he performed his miracles, he never failed and he never erred because he knew what his daddy wanted. I want to know, is there anybody in this house today that you're called by the name of Jesus Christ, and you're going and you're doing and you're talking and you're walking in the name of Jesus Christ? You're doing it in his mind. You're doing it in his character. You're doing it in his purpose. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you wonder why I don't have the power. I don't have the authority in the Holy Ghost. You've got to understand that if you want the power of the name of Jesus attached and associated to your life, then you're going to have to live in direct alignment with what Jesus would want you to do. The reason why Jesus had authority is because he knew that when he approached the blind man, that he was doing exactly what his father was telling him to do. And the way that you and I are going to know that we are in the Spirit, and the way that you and I are going to know that we're being used, and the way that you and I are going to know that we're under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, is if our life and our mind and our character and our purpose is in direct alignment with the man Jesus Christ. I want to know if you understand how important it is to be called by the name of Jesus Christ. He came in perfect accord with his father's mind, his father's character, his father's purpose. Whatever the father showed him to do, that's exactly what he did. And so the text tells us that when you ask anything in my name, that's what I'm going to do. I've had young people come to me and tell me, say, Brother Claymore, I want you to pray for me that God would give me an authority and a power and an influence that I can touch and move people when I witness to them. And I pray for them, and then I talk to them. I tell them that your life and the power of your life is not bound up in an altar service somewhere where you're screaming like a banshee and you got your hand on somebody's head and you're practically decapitating them. That's not where the power is. And that's not where the anointing is. I have no problem with you laying hands on people, and I have no problem with the altar services. I have no problem with you getting excited. But the authority that you want in your life is going to come when you get up in the morning and you live right, and you go to bed at night and you know you've lived right. I want to know, is there anybody who understands that when you do it in the name of Jesus Christ, that means you've lived right, you walked right, you talked right, and you spit right? I mean, everything about you is done in the name of Jesus Christ. When I pray, I'm praying in Jesus' mind. When I fast, I'm doing it in his character and his purpose. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that would hinder the revelation of this text today. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not some magical mantra that you come in and chant 50 times in a row, and somehow, because you reached that final threshold and you got to the 49th and then the 50th repetition, that suddenly there will be this sovereign infusion of power
and you'll feel it, and your hands will extend it, and you'll feel the anointing. You'll get goose pimples, and your hair will stand up on your head because you said the name of Jesus 40 or 50 times. Friend, that's nothing more than idolatry. That's nothing more than trying to find your way to the presence of God through mere repetition and rites and traditions. You cannot cast out a devil just because you're saying in the name of Jesus 30, 40, 50 times. I want to tell you the reason why you're going to have power to go into your high schools and into your neighborhoods and into the altars of your church and lay hands on people and say in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit and cast it from him. It's going to be because the devil recognizes that young man lives just like his daddy. He does everything just like his daddy in the mind, in the character, in the purpose of Jesus Christ himself. I'm getting out of here and I'm taking the game with me. There's no room for me at this altar because he's doing it in his father's mind, in his father's character, and in his father's purpose. Come on, young people. If you want power, you got to live right. If you want influence, you got to act right. You got to be like Jesus if you want the same power that he had.
He said, when you ask anything in my name, some would say, thank you, Lord, for that wonderful verse. God, I desperately need a new Corvette. Lord, you know how far it is for me to drive to work and how many various and sundry things that I've got to do in the morning just to get ready to go. Lord, this will allow me the potential to get there speedily. I'll get in the fast lane, Lord. And that Corvette will help. Lord, it's a need. You understand, Lord? Hey, friend, you're way wrong. You're not only not in left field, you're in the dugout, buddy. You're wrong because that's not what it means. It doesn't mean that just because you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, give me a girlfriend. God, you said, if I ask anything in your name, Lord, you see that young lady over there, the pretty one with the beautiful ringlets in her hair? Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you give her to me? Lord, would you have her ask me out? Lord, would you ask her if she wouldn't mind just maybe going with me for a little while? In the name of Jesus, and you get anointed all over the place. Hey, you got to do it in the name of Jesus. If you want a God-called young lady, then get on your knees yourself and find an altar yourself and do it like Jesus would have done it. Young ladies, if you want a young man, then do it like Jesus would have you to do. And then you can pray in the name of Jesus. I want a prayer warrior in the name of Jesus. I want a man who's a real man, not a limp-wristed wimp. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. My God, I feel something in this house. I feel something in this place. I feel like spirits can be cast out and deliverance can come and healing can be accomplished when we do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I'm almost done. He tried out a little whole stuff. Some people mistakenly feel that if they copy what they've seen someone else do, that that will also give to them the same power. But friend, I want to tell you, you're wrong. You've come too late to say that. Because Scripture tells us clearly in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, that there were seven sons of Sceva who tried the very same thing. They saw Paul operating in the Holy Ghost, and they saw him laying hands on people, and they were being delivered of devils and spirits and
diseases and all kinds of infirmities. And they would watch him as he would lay his hands upon them. And something would miraculously happen. And some kind of greed and ambition got into them. I want to tell you, young men, it's all right to aspire to the ministry. It's all right that you aspire to a place of being used in the kingdom of God. As long as you can take up the cross that's necessary to bear at the same time. That means you better be first in the altar and you're the last one in the prayer room. That means you better live right so that God can entrust His Spirit to you.
So they watch Paul operating in the Holy Ghost. And they get this notion. There's seven of us. And if this one man could do that, then I wonder what would happen if all seven of us started going out in this spiritual troop and beginning to operate. And perhaps if people saw us, then we'd get a few more preaching engagements. Well, they approached this man that had a devil in him. And they looked at him and with their strongest, fullest, deepest voice, they said, "We adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preacheth." Step back, waiting for it to happen. Because after all, they had mentioned the name of Jesus. The old devil looked back at them and said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you?" If you want the devil to recognize you, you better live right, you better walk right, and you better do it in the name of Jesus Christ. You better have the character of the living God inside of you if you want the devil to recognize you. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, if you've lived right and you prayed and you've gotten a hold of the altar of Almighty God, the devil's going to say, "I'm no match for him and I'm no match for the Jesus inside of them." They're doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. I'll be done in 5 minutes. If you've got something to back up your life, then you can go out in the name of Jesus. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. If you drink any deadly thing, they shall harm you. Take up serpents, and you will not be bitten nor destroyed because you're doing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I think of the scene where Jesus was re-entering Jerusalem after it had been restored. Some 483 years after it had been prophesied that he would indeed return to the same city, Jesus, in fact, did that. He was sitting on the back of a colt, bobbing gently, the living God, draped in flesh, bobbing gently on the back of a colt. In front of him were his disciples, and they had a partial revelation as to who he was, but it wasn't complete. They were laying palm branches in front of him, and they were basically heralding the entrance of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Deliverer, back into the restored city of Jerusalem, just like he said he would 483 years ago in the book of Daniel. By the way, God always keeps his appointments. And so, here they are, laying palm branches out there. And as they were doing it, they were saying something specific. They were saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
All of the others that were around, scribes, the Pharisees, those religious entities of the day, stood by with their arms folded and their chin in the air saying, who in the world is this rabble-rousing bunch of coffee house philosophizers?
I made that word up. But they didn't get a revelation. They didn't understand that Jesus was coming back in the manner that his Father had told him to do it. And so when they began to cry this out, they were essentially saying, look, understand, and acknowledge that this Jesus you're looking at is coming back in the mind and in the character and in the purpose of his Father.
Now, all of you sons and daughters that have fathers, you understand that there are times when you and your daddy don't agree. Is that right? Come on, be honest. Hello? And some of you may say that we disagree more than we agree. Well, you have a right, I guess, to be wrong, but... Well, they didn't like that. But there are times we have conflicts. And it's you and Dad. And you're saying, Dad, I just, that's not right. I can't agree with that. Well, listen, buddy. You're going to live in my house. You're going to do what I tell you. You're going to go to church. You're going to be home on time.
Dad, that's outdated. That's so far behind.
Listen, you can't be so far behind that you lose your soul. I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Get back by 12 or 1 o'clock. That's late enough. And make sure you go to church. Even when you get off work, you come into church. Come as you are. You're going to be there. But, Dad, I've got to do this. Conflict between the daddy and the son. But when these disciples were heralding Jesus coming back, they were saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then they said, peace in heaven. And glory in the highest. In other words, as regards to the relationship between the daddy and the son, there is no conflict. Peace in heaven. Everything's all right with the Father. And everything's all right with the Son. And all of these two and three are one. There is no conflict. He's doing it in his daddy's name. He's doing it in his daddy's mind. He's doing it in his daddy's character. And there's peace in the house. Some of you men and young ladies need to understand that when you obey your parents, you're doing it unto the Lord. I'm closing. If you go out in the name of Jesus, you're going to find power and anointing. But you've got to do it in his name. I'll never forget. And I want you to stand with me. I'll never forget the time that my wife came home from work some years ago. And she began to talk to me about a conflict that they had in the office that day. She said, honey, she said, I was sitting there in the office, and my co-workers there were joking around. And they began to use the name of the Lord in vain. Jesus this and Jesus that. And she said, every time they said it, I felt like a knife had pierced me. I want you to understand, you need to reverence the name of Jesus Christ. Because neither is there salvation in any other name. She said, it hurt me. And she said, finally, I'd had enough. When they had repeatedly used his name like it was some casual, carefree reference to help bolster the humor of their argument. Why do they need to use the name of Jesus to make their joke any funnier? It's a perverted attempt to take the proper use of the name of Jesus and try to bolster their evil work. Don't use the name of Jesus in vain. Don't use it unless you know you can live like it. Come on, young people. We're children of the name. And we have a heritage that we cannot give up casually. She said, I spun around in my chair. And she said, I stood up, and she said, I looked down at them, and I said, I don't want you to use that name that way around me again. She said, you don't understand. She said, I'm not trying to be mean and nasty. She said, but I've seen people healed in that name. She said, I've seen drug addicts delivered in that name. She said, I've seen alcoholics delivered from the bottle in that name. I've seen entire families and marriages put back together in that name. And here you are using it so casually. You're not going to do it that way around me. They said, yes, ma'am. And from that point forward, something happened in that office workplace where they knew without question that Melanie Claiborne was the child of the King, and she was a Jesus name, Word God, apostolic, tongue talking, holy roller. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, whatever you do, you need to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, the end of the story was this, that one of those young ladies who saw her defend the name of Jesus that day, her name was Ana Cleto. She was Portuguese, wonderful little lady. She began inquiring about all this. She said, I saw you that day. She said, something just turned over me. She said, you got something. There's something special about it. Would you please tell me? And so we eventually got a Bible study with her. And over a period of a year, we kept trying to help her understand what she needed, that she needed the Holy Ghost. And we kept on working with her until one night in the middle of a revival, we watched as the door swung open and Ana Cleto came walking in. My wife and I smiled at each other and we said, this is a good sign, because friend, once you get inside the house, there's no telling what's going to happen. My God, there's no telling what's going to happen, because we're worshiping in the name of Jesus Christ. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. I want to know, are you worshiping in his name? Are you praising him in his name? That little lady came down to the altar at the altar call, and she raised her hands and began to worship the Lord. She understood repentance. She understood baptism. And friend, after she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, she knew about the Holy Ghost then. Because friend, it all started back in a little office cubicle where a woman said, you're not going to treat my God that way, because what I do and what I say and what I live, I'm doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to put your hands together. I want you to clap under the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to reverence him. I want you to love him. I want you to give him everything that's due under his name. Go ahead and worship a little moment. Go ahead and clap for a moment. If you want to go to your high school and be used, do it in the name of Jesus. If you're going to your job, do it in the name of Jesus. If you're going to pray somebody through, do it in the name of Jesus Christ.
When we call Jesus, praise the Jesus, we have the victory.
Oh,
in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory.
Don't be afraid to lay hands on somebody. Don't be afraid to pray for somebody. Just make sure you're living right.
Jesus, praise the Jesus, we have a victory.